You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll break down the decisions announced by the U.S. Supreme Court yesterday, including one on gun ownership for those convicted of domestic abuse.
First, as mosquito-borne diseases like Zika and dengue fever continue to spread, mosquitoes are proving to be more than a nuisance. They're a serious public health concern.
To tackle the problem, researchers are exploring a new range of high-tech solutions to the mosquito problem, including genetically engineered extinction and increased immunity to viruses.
Alessio Bayak joins us now. He's a senior writer for Undark magazine in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Alessio, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for the invitation.
Well, it sounds like one trend in combating mosquito-borne diseases is using gene drives to change the outcome in wild mosquito populations. And can you explain what the term gene drives means?
So gene drives really cool. I mean, it's the idea basically of cheating evolution. And so you might remember from Biology 101 that, you know, a child gets half their genomes from each parent, right? And so then that comes together and creates the offspring. And so you could imagine overriding those rules, right? And so that's what gene drive does, is by essentially giving the genetic code more than a 50% chance of being inherited, right? And so then across an entire wild population, depending on how quick the generations are, so, you know, bugs have really short generations, elephants and humans have long generations, you could technically start replacing a gene pretty quickly within a population, up to almost 100%. So you could push a gene, or drive in this case, all the way through an entire wild population.
And so one idea on the table here is to use that technology you're describing to make mosquitoes sterile. How would that work?
So that's a pretty interesting proposal here, where you could take a mosquito that, say, transmits yellow fever or Zika or dengue, and introduce some kind of sterile gene, some kind of gene or a set of genes that would render it sterile. And so one way they've described this is driving maleness through a population, so that every offspring that is created out in the wild ends up being male. And so after a while, there's no females floating around or flying around, and that entire population would crash. So that's one of the ideas behind engineering sterility, right, into mosquitoes.
Well, so just to take that example, if you've gotten rid of all the mosquitoes, I suppose scientists and biologists have to say, well, what happens to the species that feed on mosquitoes and other things like that that we may not be thinking about? Who's asking those questions?
Well, that's interesting, because a lot of actually, academies of science, the National Academy of Science, for example, large groups of researchers, even kind of international organizations are raising those alarms and kind of asking scientists to rein this in a little bit and say, let's think about the actual ecosystemic effects of what it means to remove, say, one species or all mosquitoes. And there are some interesting writing and essays out there. Just Google around for driving extinction of mosquitoes, and you see a lot of that. The alarm bells, the idea of, hey, we need to, before we enact some kind of sweeping proposal like this, think about what the effects are going to be on the rest of the environment.
So another one of these, a genetically driven possibility, is you talk to a researcher who's looking to possibly boost immunity in mosquitoes so that they wouldn't pick up these viruses, for example, like the Zika virus. So what do we know about the shape of that idea so far?
That was a cool idea, and definitely kind of less developed in terms of field trials than a lot of the other research we've seen in terms of genetically modified mosquitoes being released in kind of early trials. But the idea is, could we essentially vaccinate a mosquito? I mean, it's not explicitly that, but the idea is, could we boost the immune systems of these mosquitoes that tend to carry Zika or dengue or chikungunya or one of these viruses? Could we help them resist those viruses and, in a sense, create a superbug that would be resistant to picking up the Zika virus? Because if a mosquito can't be infected by the Zika virus, then there's no way it's going to bite and pass that along. Mosquito needs to be infected first before it can transmit that virus to a human.
And again, as you discovered talking to this researcher, there are some questions there too. I mean, what if you've got, as you said, the superbug who has a super immune system? Does that mean it lives four times as long as the average mosquito? And what does that mean for mosquito populations?
Precisely. And there is a kind of early research, at least in the lab, about this. And they found sometimes the opposite, where, you know, you might introduce a gene that would boost its immune system, but the mosquito actually won't live as long as its wild cousins. And you could imagine if you release those into the wild and spend a lot of money on that trial, and then they just don't fare well in the wild compared with their kind of wild cousins, that's a lot of money wasted, right? So those are the kind of experiments we need to be doing.
We're talking with Aleshu Bayek right now. He wrote about the science of mosquito management in the face of things like mosquito-borne illnesses like Zika and dengue fever. Wrote about that for Undark magazine in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And it sounds as though there have been already some genetically modified mosquitoes released in some parts of the world. What do we know about how those initial efforts are going?
Well, so those are pretty interesting. I mean, I think what we might be conflating with genetic modification is the introduction of, let's say, a bacteria. So infect a mosquito egg with a bacteria that will be harmful to the mosquito. And so that's something that's kind of the furthest along right now, and that bacteria is called Wolbachia. And that what it does is kind of make it resistant to viruses, also shorten the lifespan of mosquitoes. So that's one thing that's being released is mosquitoes, all male mosquitoes that are released into the wild with this bacteria inside them, in places like Fresno, California, right outside Fresno. And, you know, the idea is that the eggs that are fertilized by these mosquitoes won't hatch because they have this kind of detrimental bacteria in them. But where genetically modified mosquitoes are being used, and something that with the Zika epidemic has gotten a lot more attention, is what a British company called Oxitec is doing. And though initially they started working with sterility, so the idea of kind of making a male mosquito that you could release into the wild, and then upon mating, it would render the offspring sterile or kill them. But now what they're doing is something interesting where you rear these in the laboratory and you make these mosquitoes dependent on some kind of chemical, in this case, an antibiotic. So if you don't supply the antibiotic, and obviously if you release them into the wild, they won't have the antibiotic because you have it in the lab, they're all going to die. So that they then pass on that need for the antibiotic into subsequent generations, right, their offspring, and then they would die in the wild. So that's another idea that's being pioneered by this Oxitec company.
Aleshu, what do we know about the implications of the kind of research that we've been talking about so far and other pests that carry diseases, ticks, things like Lyme's disease, things like invasive species?
So that's what's really interesting about the idea of a gene drive, of somehow being able to push with the latest kind of genetic engineering tools a gene into a wild population, because it might not necessarily be for a disease-causing organism like a mosquito, but you might be able to, eliminate an invasive species. So they're talking about doing this with lionfish, which are those kind of spiny, poisonous fish floating around the Caribbean now, which have become so much of a nuisance that, even trying to sell these and create recipes for these haven't, dropped the numbers in the Caribbean, at least. With Lyme disease, it's pretty interesting. There's a proposal to kind of engineer a mouse that would be resistant to Lyme disease, because obviously that's kind of upstream of when the tick infects a deer or the tick infects a human. Generally, they're kind of hanging out with these mice. And so one idea would be, hey, could we use that same mechanism that we're talking about with mosquitoes to give a mouse population a gene that make them resistant to Lyme disease, right? So if you cut it off at the foot, right, maybe we'd have, fewer cases of Lyme in humans.
So it seems like everything we've talked about today has pretty big questions that still need to be answered, namely about how the ripple effect would affect the rest of the biological community, the ecosystem around it. But assuming that some of those questions are put to bed, how far away are we from some of these ideas reaching fruition and being put into action?
Well, the idea of the OxyTech, the sterile mosquitoes and these antibiotic-dependent mosquitoes, those have already been released in places like Brazil. They're in early stages of trials, but the bacteria-infused mosquitoes, for example, have already been released. So there's definitely a need for more people to kind of read about this and know about this and talk to their mosquito abatement districts, right, the control boards, and ask them what they're doing, because it's interesting to look at where the latest science is on this. But of course, a lot of the gene drive stuff is years away. The mouse experiment with Lyme, for example, at least 10 years, they say.
Alessio, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for the invitation. Take care.
Alessio Vajac is a senior writer for Undark magazine, where he wrote about mosquitoes and mosquito management there. That magazine is published in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Coming up, we'll get another perspective on the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling on the Texas abortion law. Then we'll talk to an analyst about all the court's big decisions released yesterday. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time.